Where am I?
When I am on the radio.
A space without space.
You're navigating visually through this layered digital space by zooming, so that you're continually sort of zooming around.
You plug in and then you dissolve into cyberspace, and you know, your physical body doesn't exist any longer.
You're in a very confined bodily space. The kind of rhetoric of being digital that has us leaving our bodies and entering a virtual space is very misleading.
It does not exist only by imagination, you know. It's not telepathy.
It's not telepathy.
It's not telepathy. The space without space.
But it's not a real space.
It is space, but it's not a real space.
In a physical sense.
You know, kind of a new space which is not three-dimensional.
Well, certainly not the same as physical space as we see it.
Well, the only way we can really think of virtual space is by associating it with real space.
In a physical sense. But it's not a real space. Now, virtual space is a very useful name for the space where those kinds of interactions that are not based in your local physical space can happen. It's useful when you're talking about any kind of interaction between people that is assisted in some way by technology, and that would include letter writing and things like that, where the fact that people are not in the same physical space means that if they're going to communicate, they have to construct some other basis for establishing shared meaning between them. A computer always has within it the potential for another kind of artifact that can be moved around without changing and without being damaged to different people. So there's a shareability of whatever is produced in there.
It's not just a matter of recreating a simple notion of object in virtual space. I think it's much more recognizing the extent to which we construct things that are then available to us as the materials of our activity and of our interactions with each other.
Actual space includes lots of information in it, which we use, lots of different signs and lots of different ways that we have of navigating through that space. So computer space is the same idea as other information space, if you like.
One of the boundaries that I think is getting challenged is the boundary of the imaginary. It's already the case that the line between the world as we can imagine it and the so-called actual world isn't all that clear-cut.
The point is that it differentiates from what is available in your local physical environment.
Digital media have challenged some of what we took to be obvious boundaries between the real and the virtual. But I still think people acting in digital space are still acting from embodied from embodied states.
There's obviously big differences between the physical movement in physical space and the mental movement, if you like, in the information space.
The materiality of the world and the significance or meaningfulness of the world are tied up together in ways that can't be separated. So virtual objects, in that sense, are as real as any other kind. I think that we need materiality to think with.
I don't know of anyone who can interact virtually or any other way in one of these spaces without somewhere or other being embodied, without somewhere or other having their hands connected to the keys, without their eyes reading, without their ears listening. It never, ever can be done without that.
I once used a dada cloth and suit. You have to move your body in a really special way so that the technology works. And what happened is not that I kind of disappeared in cyberspace, but it started to hurt after like half an hour. I really felt pain in my hands and in my knees and so on. There are a lot of diseases caused by working in front of the computer, real physical diseases like RSI.
Electricity and all that stuff.
It does not exist only by imagination, you know. It's not telepathy. It's wires and cables and electricity and all that stuff.
Rematerialization, a different kind of a material basis. The thing that we tend to assume is that as we move into digital media, there's a kind of dematerialization. And I think that's wrong. I think it's a rematerialization, a different kind of a material basis to work in.
No cash, no bandwidth. More cash, more bandwidth.
Rematerialization. The virtual is just those things that camouflage the conditions of their own existence. Materiality, and that one of the things that's tricky about the virtual is that it can make it even more difficult to see the sides of the screen.
Materiality of the so-called immaterial.
Actual enabling activities that make the virtual possible. Those are always going on both sides of the screen. And that all virtual worlds require a huge amount of
electricity,
activity, and of materiality in order to sustain them. But of course, that never gets acknowledged as part of the discussion about the virtual computing.
The net is highly material because it doesn't exist without lots of cash. Yeah? No cash, no bandwidth. More cash, more bandwidth.
One big tool of exclusion.
Yeah, so-called.
And understanding how things are shifting as the media change is a really important part of understanding what computing means for people's work and other kinds of activity.
Well, there's always this myth of the immaterial, but the materiality of the so-called immaterial is evident by the fact that a lot of the hardware that we use is assembled by low-wage labor in third-world countries by people who maybe don't even have shoes, yeah, let alone telephones or internet connectivity.
The whole internet is our one big tool of exclusion, as long as the people who need it most don't have access.
And these are the people who assemble the components that somehow miraculously appear on the store shelves and enable this interface to the so-called immaterial world.
How things are shifting, what computing means.
There's a lot of blood and sweat and near slavery behind the production of this technological hardware.
It's not that we're transcending the material, it's that we are developing new forms of materiality, and that's the really interesting thing to try to understand.
A box on your desk.
Thank you for your company. I am a box on your desk, and you have been listening to Beth Minette, Lucy Suchman, Cornelia Solbrink, David Benyon, Tony Robertson, and Paul Guerin. The producer was Sophia Lerner, and the sound engineer was John Jacobs.